Welcome to Women in Comedy, the podcast, with your host, Jasmine. Yes, it's just me. Tal couldn't make it today. No, don't stop listening. Guys, come on. Be nice. And we're very lucky. We have a guest all the way from New York City. Yes, she came all the way to Sydney to be on the podcast.
Yes,
I was so excited.
Just to be on the podcast.
Yes, welcome, Leah.
Thanks for having me. Yes.
Now, how was your flight over?
I love how you put a little French twist on my name there.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. The flight was good, long, 23 hours.
Yeah.
But I survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was good. Pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth.
Yeah. Watched a couple of movies.
Oh,
watched
what did
Hidden
you say?
Figures.
That's a good film.
It was really good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
What was your review on that one?
It was great. Like, I thought it would be good, and it did not disappoint. Yeah.
Excellent.
Interesting. Like, about the history of the time and to see how women were treated back then and how African Americans, and it was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
It was great.
And you saw a second film, or was that one not as notable?
No, I saw Moonlight as well, which was really good.
Film.
Yeah, really great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just because I was on a plane and I was like a bit antsy, but I found it a bit slow at some points.
Yes.
But Mahershala Ali, his performance was really amazing. Mm. Like, I can see why he won the Oscar. And although he's like only in the first quarter, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And I was surprised.
Mm.
Yeah, usually when they win an Oscar, they're in the whole thing. Not
That's
guaranteed.
True.
Yeah. And she was amazing. Naomi Harris. Yeah, she was really incredible.
Oh, also, his mother.
Yeah, the mother.
She's a British actress.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. Her accent was
she's
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gives a lot. She fully commits to her.
Yeah, she's
like,
incredible.
It feels very raw, very real. Like,
I'm always, like, impressed when people that good-looking are that talented.
Good-looking people can be talented.
Yeah.
So fun. Oh, well, I have so many different questions to ask you, but firstly, we'll start with your name. At first, when you're like, I want to come to your podcast, I'm like, awesome. And you're like, I'm booking my flight.
And then you're like, how do I say your name?
I was like, wait, is that a typo? Is it Leah?
My parents didn't want me to have any friends. They were like, we'll just make it as hard as possible for you. We'll put an apostrophe in there. We'll put maybe a semicolon, maybe some paragraph notations.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's LEE apostrophe AT.
Okay.
It's Hebrew. It means, like, you are my child, you are to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was actually born in Israel, and I was born in Australia. My parents lived there for a while doing the Jew thing, doing the Havanim thing. And they thought if they gave him, his name is Elad, which is a Hebrew name.
Mm-hmm.
They thought if they gave him a Hebrew name and me an Aussie name, it would be really weird, like Elad and Shazza. Like, it would just be kind of incongruent, you know?
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, so they did Liat, and then they spelt it like that because they thought if they put L-I-A-T, Aussies would say Liat.
Ah.
And then they thought if they didn't put the apostrophe, people would say Leet. So they just ended up making it way more complicated for everybody. So that's how
tricky
I ended
naming,
up with that.
Naming a kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Have you been to Israel?
I haven't. I should go. I'm so, so stupid. I should have gone for Birthright, and now I think I'm pushing the edge of the envelope with the age. Yeah, because you can get a free trip if you're Jewish.
Oh,
did you know about that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
A little tiny little bit of Jewish on mum's side, Dutch Jewish.
Yeah,
that counts.
I think so. Yes, technically, if you're mum, then you can go. Yeah.
Mum is good as well.
But I think you have to be under like 27 or something. Yeah, I think
you might be a schmidjolder.
Yeah. There are some that do a couple years for a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I should go. I always say I should go, and then I don't do it. I'm too busy hustling away in New York trying to make something of myself.
Yeah, tell us about this. So you grew up in Australia.
Yeah, I grew up in Sydney, in Bondi.
What was that like? Yeah, in Bondi.
Yeah, beautiful Sydney. Mm. I miss it. And, I miss the beaches in New York, but, have the whole acting comedy community there.
Yeah,
so it's pretty amazing. Yeah, I love it there. Awesome people, beautiful city. I don't take advantage of it enough as I should. Like, there are so many shows and so many things.
Mm.
Just, like, sit in my little basement apartment, like, talking to myself, creating crazy characters. So, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I don't know. It's toss-up. Australia has healthcare.
Mm.
America has Amazon Prime. I don't know. It kind of works out even in the end. Yeah.
New York has musicals. Australia has... has Melbourne. Melbourne has stuff. Sydney has... Next question. No, Sydney's great, but the culture isn't at where it should be. You have to pay a lot more for it.
Yeah, but I was talking to you before. There are a few comedy schools here now.
There are now. It's improved a lot. Yeah. There's a few improv schools. Yeah.
How have you seen, like, it develop? Like, what's the difference between improv in Sydney now than it used to be, like, 10 years ago or something?
Well, I've only lived here 7 years, so 10 years I wouldn't be able to comment on. But
when 5 years?
Well, about 2 or 3 years ago I got into improv, and when I started there was ITS had been around for a little while. I didn't know Alan May, who I'm now studying with and doing social media for. So they were very new. That was 2012, 13, around there. And so there was mostly theatre sports. That was our main focus. We didn't really have the Chicago long form style of improv that just which is just everywhere, like Chicago, New York, LA. We didn't really have that.
And being exposed to it. It's more like short form, like whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Game style, which is a lot of fun, but in some regards, I found is actually harder once I got into long form because you have to remember the rules of the game, and you've got to improvise, and you've got to be right on the mark for the audience. So I learned all that. It was good training. Then I did training with someone who does more the David Rozowski kind of Meisner style, which is long form but is like really heavy. And then dramatic. Then I got involved in sketch writing and with Laugh Masters Academy. In the last two or three years, it's actually expanded heaps. We've now got about 5 or 6 different monthly shows on between two different schools.
That's cool.
And we also have shows where both schools get together and a free plug for No But Comedy instead of Yes And.
Cool.
A friend of mine, Matthew Farthing, I hope you listened to the podcast, Matt. He studied at ITS, but he started in stand-up comedy. Cool. So I started in that too.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he wanted to put on a monthly show that was an open mic style thing for improvisers from all the different schools. So you could come with a team or you could sign up on the night or in advance, and then I play with other people from different schools. So it's not like, okay, this is our school, we have that show. Like UCB will have their shows, Second City will have their shows, but this is, you know, same kind of thing like LMA, ITS do their thing.
Yeah.
But it's nice when they all work together and you get someone from LMA, someone from ITS, someone IA, and it all work together.
Because
improv is such a friendly community, the improv community. So it has expanded a lot.
That's
We've got a lot more than we had 2 years ago when I started.
That's awesome.
So it's getting better. And it's pretty big, I think, in Melbourne. I haven't actually checked it out, but I heard the scene is really big there.
Do they have weekend teams here at the improv theatres?
We have house teams, so the way that LMA do things, they're kind of modelling it on Second City and UCB. Particularly, we actually recently had Ryan Carles, who's one of the teachers from back in the day, who's been teaching, he's been doing improv for 16 years, but he's been teaching for a long time at UCB in New York.
Yeah, cool.
So we had him teach us for a term and do workshops.
Yeah,
and a lot of our teachers and people stay with us from America or study there. So what we do is after you've done a few levels, you can be in the practice team and go through the house team program. That's they do the same kind of thing in the States.
Yeah, they do.
And then you get the support of the school. So you can get, once you're like, I've done all the levels, I want to keep playing. And you get regular gigs that way. And you're still representing the school, but you're still doing your own thing. But we have indie teams too. So they get gigs at our house party event, a bit of a plug for LMA there, on the third Thursday of the week, month, sorry, which is a lot of fun because then, you know, because you do all the improv and you, I've done all the cool, I know what I'm doing now and I just don't want to get kids. So it's nice to have a school support you and the Factory Theatre
where we
perform. So that's kind of good.
That's
but it's still very different, obviously, to, you know, New York City and LA. Like for us, it's very small and still quite new. So we do get an audience, but. Aussies aren't used to it. Like if they go to America, they're like
brand new.
If they go to Chicago, they don't know what to expect.
Totally. Yeah, I've taken some Aussie friends and family to New York improv shows at UCB and stuff like that. Yeah. Some of them enjoyed it. Some of them enjoyed it. One of my friends got a little bit bored. But she's quite selective, I think, in her tastes. Yeah. But I love it. Like, especially the character stuff, that's what I really love to do. So, they have, like, really good character showcases and different character shows in New York.
That background noise is Pippi, who sometimes visits the neighbor's cat.
Hey, Pippi, little kitty.
She's very cute.
Oh, she wanted to say hello.
Yeah, she's like, scratchy, scratchy. She's like our guest.
So
you're saying, character work. So we backtrack a little bit. You started in acting, is that right?
Yeah. So I moved over to New York originally to study at the Neighborhood Playhouse, which is a Meisner school there.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did 1 year full-time there. And, that was, like, really amazing training, really cool, like you were saying, like, really intense, like, improv exercises and, but like we were saying, like, sometimes they would just turn out to be hilarious. And unintentionally, you know, I'd come in crying and I'd be like clutching my back and like people would be laughing because the other girl was like setting up cards and you're commenting on it and you're crying and it's just like one big clash of things. And it's so much fun and really amazing. And then in the second year there, they teach character work, which I really, really loved because that's kind of what I've always wanted to do. And, they teach, like, impediments.
Okay.
So you start kind of with, like, moving your mouth a different way or moving the way you walk a different way or something like that. And then just kind of developing a character from there. So kind of really, like, my comedic characters kind of came out of that training also.
Okay.
Yeah, which really helped. And then I did a character class at UCB as well, which is like writing and performing.
Okay.
But all my basis in character stuff is from that, which is really cool. But then once I finished studying at the Neighborhood Playhouse, then I started auditioning in New York and did some theater, did some off-Broadway and did a Crazy Naked show. And, that's how I met my husband, actually.
So firstly, we'll talk about the Crazy Naked show and then how you met. So that's you met the husband. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we did the show. He has a production company over there called End Times Productions.
Okay.
And, we did this show. They did it annually called Naked Holidays.
Okay.
And, it was like a crazy musical sketch comedy show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I first learned to do improv.
Okay.
And then it was like some musical numbers, some sketch comedy numbers, very like social satire, parody, commentary on society and commentary on the holidays and all the different faiths and things. And then there was inside of that, there was an ending. We always ended with this show called The Naked People Play. And it's crazy. It was crazy. It was like two clothed people, a couple arguing about breaking up. And then behind them, originally it started with behind them was just a naked couple just sitting there.
Okay.
But then they found that because audiences are quite sophisticated now, like that's only going to hold people's attention for a few seconds and then they're going to pay attention to the people arguing again.
Yeah.
So then they started doing crazier and crazy things with the nudity.
Okay.
And the whole message was like, it's just your body, body positivity, and like, it's just natural.
Yeah.
So it was all like for comedic effect. Like we had naked village people, naked unicyclists, naked dudes unicycling, and naked hula hooping, naked stop and frisk. And then she pulled a comb out of her afro on the way out. And then, it was very politically incorrect.
Oh, nice.
But, I've got to say, you haven't lived. This is a bit X-rated. I don't know if it's allowed. But you haven't lived until you've seen a dude's balls sitting on top of a unicycle.
So did you have to do much of the nudity yourself?
Or? I did some too, What did I do? What were my favorite parts? Oh, I wrestled a crocodile naked because I was the token Aussie. So I like punched a crocodile in the face and wrestled it.
Oh, wow.
All the Aussie stereotypes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then, naked waitressing. We had like an apron with our asses sticking out back. And we had, naked. Like we throw salt over our shoulder. And
oh, God, that's funny.
Yeah, because one of the years we did it in a supper club called The Cutting Room. It's like a pretty famous venue in New York.
Okay.
They've had like Blues Brothers and Rolling Stones and like Chris Rock and all these amazing people perform there. And yeah, so we were lucky enough to get to do the show there. And so we got to like, it was totally interactive with the audience, eating their dinners and stuff. It was cool.
Awesome. Yeah. And then you were half naked and this guy said, I love you. Will you marry me?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Love at first sight.
That's... Yeah, exactly. He was the director. God, what a slam. But it's all right. I locked that shit down. So
that's good. You were like, you bared your soul and your body. And
exactly.
You said, this is how I am.
Yeah.
Said,
yeah. And he was like, I like the look of that.
I wouldn't mind an Aussie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
So you've been in New York how many years now? Quite a while. Or?
5 years now.
5 years. Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know. My Aussie friends say I have the New York twang, but I'm fighting it. I want to keep my Aussie accent.
Yeah, you want to have like a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But how did you learn your New York accent? Was it just by listening and doing it? Did you have proper training?
Well, yeah. When I went to the Neighborhood Playhouse, we had speech training there, speech and accent training. And so that's where I learned to do like standard American. And I also have an online accent reduction company, which is, my company and my business partner is a speech therapist. Okay. So we teach accent reduction and accent training to actors. Okay. Yeah. So I always like listen to it when I'm going to auditions and top up my American accent. Okay. Yeah. Top up.
it's like I've got a cell phone and I just need to top it up. Yeah. So it sounds a little bit more American. No, it sounds good Australian. Down.
The Aussies are always with the upward intonations. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go to my car. And you think they're asking a question, but they're not.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to go to this grocery store.
So do you teach Americans how to do Australian accents?
I do, yeah. I can
do. What's that like? Is that tricky?
Yeah, a little bit. But, yeah, Aussie accent is really hard to do.
Yeah, because, it's quite nasal.
Yeah, it's nasal and it's like a weird in between the British and the American.
That's true.
Yeah, people aren't as used to hearing it as they are. So, yeah, my company is called speakmoreclearly.com.
I like it.
Speakmoreclearly.com.
I really like it. When I practice my accent, some of them I've had training in, like I think we discussed earlier, and some of them I just self-teach myself. Like when we were running through my one of my fun sketches and we were doing our Russian accent, I was like, oh, this is very good. But I find that as a Kiwi, expat Kiwi, I find the accents that are easier to do are the ones at the dumb bottom of the voice. Because Kiwis, we slur, but we talk like really low.
And you also, you squish the vowels together.
We do.
Sweet as brew.
That is why it's a little bit easier for me to do a British accent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Smaller with the vowels.
That makes sense. I go British, Russian, New Zealand, easy. The only American, and some American accents are easy.
Yeah.
Like real high pitched or Southern sometimes. I can do a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But New York accent is actually really tricky.
It's hard. Yeah. Well, I worked on this, John Patrick Shanley play in acting school and hope I got the name of the author right. So that's how I kind of learned to do a New York accent because she does this monologue and she's like, I'm going to be 32 and I was fucking under the staircase. And like, you know, goes on this whole thing. Yeah, my mother, she wanted a taste. I could see it in her eyes. Like, so that's kind of how I learned to do it.
Ah, okay.
And my husband, he's a true New Yorker, so he's quite skeptical.
You've tested his accent earlier, dude. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, when he gets drunk or he gets angry, he starts going these and them and those. He's like, he's a short white New York Jew, but he sounds Italian because he grew up with all Italians. Yeah, he starts going, those guys think they can. Yeah, it's not quite that strong. I'm exaggerating a little.
Oh,
but
like, honey, I'm not listening to this episode.
Yeah,
oh, sweetie,
exactly. Like The Sopranos.
So he sounds like Tony Soprano, but not.
All right. A little bit, yeah. And, have a go.
It's funny with the New York accent sometimes. Like, thinking of casting, years ago I used to see Matt Dillon, who's an Irish New Yorker, playing really good Italian because of the way he would do it, his accent. And so I used to think, oh, maybe he's Italian. Oh, he's Irish. What the hell?
Yeah,
I had no idea because he does Italian so well. You know, it's kind of funny how some people can do it better. I guess it depends on which borough they're from or who they grew up around.
Yeah, like, totally.
The Beastie Boys, so they're a bit high pitched. Yeah. So then I'm like, oh well, obviously Jewish.
Yeah.
But you know who they grew up around, so they're kind of, you know, I guess because they were a little bit gangster, you know, for some white boys from Manhattan. I was doing research and I thought, they're from Brooklyn. Yeah. They're not, they're from Manhattan. They had money and they were smart and they did punk and then they did hip hop and they redefined things.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wouldn't expect, you know, because there's rich Jewish boys like, yo, I can do hip hop. And I'm like
actually, Iggy Azalea, like this white Aussie girl doing this hardcore rap.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Can you rap at all?
Actually, like, we have a rap in my web series.
Yes, your web series. Yeah. Brooklyn Co. It's just come out.
We're
about to come out.
Just launched. So, we have a rap in there. We have like a little montage. It's super white girl rapping, hardcore for comedic effect, hopefully. So we have some rap about entrepreneurship.
Can you give us a little taster or if you want?
Yeah, let me see. I have to remember it.
It's all right if you don't.
It's been a little while. I can grab it.
Phone. Cool.
It's, very white girl rapping. And we had like green juice ODing because we're all about the Brooklyn lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. It's all gentrified now, right?
Actually, yeah, exactly. That's kind of what it's about, partially. About two fierce female entrepreneurs.
I get it.
Trying to make it in the Brooklyn business world.
Okay, you can explain to me. I mean, I'm from LA.
Yeah, love the LA.
It's easy to do a Californian accent, though. But I guess because I've heard it so much.
And
no one would cast me with that accent. Unless they might have the character, but I don't have the look to play that character. So the accent, I reckon New York is a better accent for my look.
Then we all heard Paris Hilton for so long that we just like used to that.
Hey, sexy. I used to actually watch The Simple Life a little bit, which is one of my secrets, which I've now told everyone. But it was okay. I actually liked the moments where you could tell where they weren't acting and that you were talking about animal rights and all these other things. And I was like, oh, she is a nice person. But you can't tell because of the way that they edit everything. They make it look like an edit. She's not.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, you know, TV, guys.
Yeah. I was in the same room as Paris Hilton once. I went to this fashion show in New York and I was like doing this fashion blog thing and I was taking photos and I said to my friend, like, I don't know who anyone is. Who do I take photos of? And she was like, I don't know, just take photos of whoever other people are taking photos of. I just, went in the middle of the runway and started taking photos pre-show.
Oh, nice.
And then Paris Hilton just walks up about a meter away from me and I go, oh, finally, someone I recognize. And I start taking photos and then all these photographers like elbowing me out of the way. I don't think I'd like to be a paparazzi. It's cutthroat.
Oh, very much. So you used to be a fashion blogger.
I did a lot of some stuff in fashion a little bit. Did some stuff at like Aussie Vogue and but acting has always been the goal. So that was just kind of a little sidestep.
A bit of both.
The life experience.
You look very stylish, I was going to say.
Thanks. I pulled up the rap if you want to hear some of it.
Yeah. Do it.
Let's see. Every journey begins with a step. That's why we initiate with that step. Don't you know for brilliant ideas, there's no cure, there's no panacea. Next step is incubation. It's all about silent rumination. I know our product will change the planet. I was told so by my psychic Janet.
Word. No. It's funny.
Yeah. And then we have like a montage with that, with us ODing on green juice and different various other
that makes sense. Yeah.
Entrepreneurial Brooklyn tech things.
My God, did you guys have too much caffeine? And then, oh my God, you just like, oh my God, I can't sleep.
Yeah,
I guess green juice must be the new caffeine or something. I like it.
We also fight the patriarchy with umbrellas.
That's intriguing. I'm looking forward to watching the show. I watched the teaser, so we'll We'll definitely share it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hashtag reverse sexism. We believe in equal opportunity sexism.
Yeah. Awesome.
We're writing the wrongs of the patriarchy one reverse sexism sexual harassment suit at a time.
All right. So that is that like the kind of slogan for the show, or you know, do you have any catchphrases or slogans or anything? So rewriting sexism?
Yeah, we are two strong female entrepreneurs fighting the patriarchy and, without a clue.
As you do.
And, basically it's a parody of all things Brooklyn and all things
nice.
Entrepreneur. We try to go on Shark Tank. We do a Shark Tank pitch video.
Oh, nice.
And, we have, I don't know how much I should give away, but we try to pitch favorite kid photography where we airbrush people's least favorite kids out of the photos.
Oh, it's funny. Oh.
Because sometimes it's just too hard.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And we also have a Japanese game show host.
Oh, no.
Yeah. With a show called Interns Locked in a Room.
Of course, because we're
I'm giving away all the secrets.
Interns. So tell us then about your co-host. Who couldn't be here.
My co-creator. Yeah, her name is Shannon Mann, and she's an American from Connecticut.
Okay.
And we did a show together in New York in Times Square. Theatre show called The Dead Sullivan Show, which was a sketch comedy show, horror comedy sketch show.
Oh.
And, she got a knife to her eye in that show.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was a really cool blood effect. And, we also, in that show, cut a guy's head off with a girl's vagina.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was called Venus Flytrap. Yeah, sorry. This is getting really explicit. that was a pretty cool blood effect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's how we met, and then we did lots of improv together and different comedy ventures together, and then we decided to create a web series together, and, this is what we ended up with.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of comedy, have you ever tried stand-up, or do you want to try stand-up?
I have tried stand-up.
How did that go?
Stand-up is hard. Let me tell you, stand-up is brutal. I'm actually going to start doing a lot more when I get back.
Okay.
And, I don't know. For me, it's really hard because I feel way more comfortable doing characters than being myself. So, I just feel there's, like, so much freedom in doing characters where I don't have to kind of be accountable for – I can just have that, self-consciousness lifted and just be crazy and be – I like to do really edgy stuff and edgy characters, as I'm sure you can tell from all the explicit nature of this. That's the kind of characters I love to do. So I think – stand-up is, like, quite hard because you have to kind of be yourself, but you have to find, like, a persona.
That's right.
So, I don't know. When I go back, I'm definitely going to do some more stand-up, and I want to start to create, like, an act, and part of that is going to be characters because that's what I love. And but I want to try doing stand-up maybe as kind of a character, but an Aussie character, so it's not, like, too far removed, like, believable.
Yeah, so maybe, like, another version of you. So based on some of your, maybe your life in Australia.
Yeah, I think so. Or, like, an Aussie character that they can believe is a person.
The girl from Bondi. And they'll be like, oh, my God, I'm going to pay attention to her. And, like, growing up in Bondi, what's a character? Yeah, you could pull characters from your childhood and just exaggerate them, but not too much. Because yes, you're right. Stand up.
Yeah,
you've got to be. It's got to be more real.
And relatable and stuff.
It's very vulnerable. Whereas with improv is very vulnerable, but you're still playing another character, so it's not you, so you can get away with things.
Yeah, a bit more wacky things.
Yeah, so sketches over the top.
Oh. You do a lot of stand up, don't you?
I used to. I did that for a few years, but then. I fell in love with improv, so improv, and sketch.
I honestly think, like, at least for me, I think stand-up is the hardest of the comedies.
Definitely.
Yeah, because you've got to connect with the audience and find relatable stuff. But, there are so many comedians that I really admire that, like, Jim Carrey and And Robin Williams, like, they were able to do more wacky stuff, but they still connected. And it's mind-blowing to me, you know?
Who are your favourite female stand-up comics or improvisers or both?
Yeah. I really love Sarah Silverman. Mm. And, of course, Amy Schumer is the latest and greatest. But in terms of, like, creators, like Tina Fey is just so brilliant and so amazing.
Yeah.
And love Whoopi Goldberg stand-up back in the day. And Lily Tomlin. Oh, love her characters. And, yeah, so many inspiring women.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very strong women, and Whoopi Goldberg, it wouldn't have been easy for her back in the day, and she had to be very strong.
Yeah, incredible.
You know,
paved the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, and what's her name? She passed recently. She did the Fashion Police. She was like the original woman who paved the way for everything.
You mean Joan Rivers?
Yeah, Joan Rivers.
Before Joan, rest in peace, good old Joan,
there
was Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Phyllis Diller, who some of the listeners are like, I have no idea who that is.
I do need to check out more of her stuff, because I haven't seen that much.
She started late.
Mm.
She started doing stand-up, I think, in the 70s.
Yeah.
And she was already about 30, 40-something years old, and she was all, you know, she would overdo, exaggerate, and she would talk about things that other women, you're not supposed to talk about. She would talk about sex and all these other things, and people were like, they loved it, but they were also kind of scared and like, why is this woman talking this way? And she's like, whatever.
Exactly.
And then Joan Rivers was able to do that. Exactly. Another one like, we're allowed to talk about sex.
Yeah.
Okay, we can talk about these things. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But if they had done it.
Exactly. They totally paved the way. And Joan Rivers, she's so incredible. I've listened to her a lot. She's very funny. Yeah. So
can you do it?
I don't think it's quite there yet. It's a bit rusty. But she just was so quick and so on the ball, and she's so incredible. Yeah, really amazing.
Do you like Amy Poehler?
I do, yeah. She's cool, but she, you know, obviously is the acting and characters and stuff.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec was great. Yeah, so it took me a while. There are a few American shows that took me a while to get into. Because I think once I lived there for a few years, I got that sensibility more. Yeah. Whereas when I was here, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a very specific, there's a very different sense of humour between American and Australian.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree. One of our former guests that I had on, a few former guests have discussed with us how they might prefer British sketch comedy as opposed to American sketch comedy, for instance. I found that British sketch comedy generally is a little less political. American is very in-your-face political, how it is to point of view for different cultures, blah, blah, blah. And so I've watched a lot of sketch, like Key and Peele, et cetera, et cetera. And then the stuff that I've watched is where they're just totally mocking a lifestyle, which I'm sure you appreciate, is Portlandia. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I love Portlandia.
Love that show.
Yeah, it's great.
Even though I haven't been to Portland, Oregon, and I don't know if I ever will.
I haven't either.
I was able to relate to it because I was like, we have that in Sydney. Oh, my God, there are people like that. So it was basically like parts of Sydney and Melbourne, different accent. Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so – oh, my God, people do that. Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
It was so relatable.
It's very universal.
So well.
Totally. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, I've got to watch more of it. It's really great.
It's such a good show.
Actually, there's a British sketch show that I just saw on YouTube. It's really edgy, hardcore edgy, but I thought it was brilliant. It's called Housewives of Isis.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's really funny and really edgy.
Did you ever watch Little Britain? I watched that. Some of the references, I'm not sure if I get it because it's British, but I did appreciate it. I thought, it's a pretty funny show.
Yeah, I remember it when I was younger, but I don't specifically remember, you know, watching it or any of it. Yeah, I think I need to start watching some more Aussie and British sketch stuff because I'm so ensconced in all the American stuff.
Yeah, and there's
now
a lot of great American sketch comedy. It's actually quite clever, and there's some good British stuff.
Yeah, the
Australian stuff. The best stuff is usually, in my opinion, anyway, is the older stuff, like the Comedy Company from the 80s and fast forward, even though it's kind of outdated now because it's all political, but you're like, oh, Neighbourhood Prime Minister or something like that.
Yeah, really great.
So those shows are great. I quite enjoyed, even though it's not sketch, but I just really liked the characters. I liked Kath and Kim because it was really just taking the piss, the mickey out of certain people living in the suburbs.
Yeah.
In Melbourne. Oh, would you like some Cardinale? Yeah. Oh, come on, Kim. Look at me, Kim. I didn't like it at first, but then I watched a few episodes and my mother and sister kept on saying, you know, it's really funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's quite clever, actually.
Yeah, I love it. It's so great.
Kel Day Night and Kath and Kim. Yeah, it's so silly.
Yeah, it's so silly, but it's so great. And, yeah, I actually listen to them sometimes if I'm trying to brush up on that kind of an Aussie accent. I'm a bit ashamed to admit that that's how long I've been away, although I never had that kind of an Aussie accent.
But they're really taking piss. They had one of my favorite episodes is when they had Kylie Minogue on, and who's ended up with a little bit of a British accent because she's been there so long, and then she played
Madonna.
Exactly. But yeah, she played the grown-up version of Kim's daughter, Ebony. I think her name was Ebony Ray or something like that. It was a while ago that I watched this, but she played the daughter perfectly, and it was her wedding and everything. And I always liked the character Kim. I know she's a horrible character. She's a real bitch, but she's really funny.
Unlikable characters. Yeah, I feel like our web series, our characters are kind of unlikable.
Well, if they're funny, it doesn't matter. It's like when you watch a Quentin Tarantino film, and did you ever notice that the best characters in Quentin Tarantino film are the villains because he casts likable villains and you're like watching, for example, Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
In Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
And he is so likable, and he won an Oscar for that, I'm pretty certain.
It's great, yeah.
Because his character, he's horrible. He's an SSAD, he kills people, he's nasty.
Yeah.
He's so likable, and he's funny, and he speaks several languages, and he's kind of cute in a funny way. And he's a horrible character, but he plays it so well, and you're just like, I kind of like that guy. I laugh when they kill him at the end. Sorry, spoilers. If you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds, Hans Lander dies.
Oops.
Come on, it's been up a few years.
Hans Solo dies.
Really. But they're like, I'm not going to listen to your podcast anymore. Spoilers. But his character is just so likable. But maybe if a different actor had played the character, had played that role, it might have been different. And be like, no, you can still have a likable character even if they're kind of nasty, regardless of. Whether it's drama or comedy.
And especially with comedy, like, I really like unlikable characters.
Exactly.
The funniest. Like, they get to be mean and...
That's true. All right. Let's see. Yes, I was going to ask you, help me learn a New York accent. But how would you teach someone? Like, it's an online business, like, can you teach anyone anywhere in the world?
Yeah, we teach anyone anywhere in the world. We do Australian accent, standard American, and British, standard British RP. Okay. It's online. We have a downloadable course, but we're actually currently just building out our online platform. So now everything's just going to be online. It's going to be way simpler for people to just log in and learn online.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we also do Skype lessons or in-person lessons if you're Sydney. Yeah. So for the one-on-one training, we mostly do Aussie or British. Yeah.
So how would it work if, say, I wanted to learn how to do a good standard American accent? Would I just pop online and...
Yeah, so you just go onto the course, you get the course, and then it's like audio recordings of Native American, like real American speakers, and they say words, and then they say sentences, and then you repeat after them, because to learn any accent, you have to immerse yourself auditorily.
That makes sense.
Yeah, called auditory immersion. So you just basically means you listen to it over and over again and you repeat it and you mimic it exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and then it becomes more fluent. And then you can, and then even some non-native English speakers think, oh, my English is very good, so I need to start with sentences and paragraphs. But you actually have to go back to basics to just repeat the words and the sentences, because Because even me, even though I'm a native speaker, I still repeat the words because you need to get those vowels. If you want to do a perfect American or a perfect whatever, you need to get those vowel sounds perfect. And those, so I'll go through and I'll say, you know, when I'm preparing for an audition, I'll say sport, port, fort, lort, mort, like, you know, and then car, bar, sar. And then, yeah, you just repeat after the trainer. And then, yeah, you become, you know, more and more used to it and it becomes more and more natural. And that's how you do it.
Sweet. Okay. Sign up.
Yeah. I'll send you a link.
Awesome. Awesome. I've heard there's a few different techniques. Many years ago, I did voice and American dialect coaching back in New Zealand.
Yeah.
With a group and a woman from Philadelphia. And she told us we have to elongate, we have to draw everything out. Mm-hmm. So, like, make it like stretch things out.
Yeah.
And then I've heard there's another technique where you pretend that your mouth is full of like blood. Have you heard of that technique?
I've not heard of that.
I can't remember who told me. I was like, that sounds weird. So you pretend that your mouth is full of like blood. This sounds really gross, but it goes in line with the explicit label.
Yeah.
And that helps you talk like with an American accent. I'm trying it now and I'm like, I'm not sure. But I found one thing that she helped a lot was singing lessons. I used to get a lot of singing lessons, vocal coaching. And when you're working on being less nasal or singing at a higher register, then you find that certain accents come easier. Because it's all about, you know, your tone and register and if you talk too low, that certain accents are easier. But if you talk higher, then certain accents are easier. But also, that's right, listening to it and hearing it. Because how do we get accents when we're born is we hear everything around us and we mimic it.
So it's about the vowels and it's about the tone, because you can have like a perfect American accent in terms of you're putting all the R's in and you're doing all the vowels, but that tone, there's a different tone to the Australian than there is the American.
Yeah.
And yeah, it does depend how good your natural ear is for hearing that as to how quickly you can get an accent or do an accent. So singing definitely will help that, because it's just basically training your ear to be able to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, like Alfred Tomatis, a famous like ear, nose, throat person, said if you can hear it, the ear can hear, the voice can reproduce. So that means if you can hear it accurately, you can reproduce it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Listening is so important. So not just with accents, but with music and singing and improv, what we were talking about earlier. So you do a lot of acting. Do you get regular gigs? Is it mostly on the stage, or do you do television and film at all?
Both, yeah. I'm trying to do more television and film now, so that's what I'm focusing on now. I love theatre, and I'm also trying to use theatre to, you know, with my characters and stuff to cross over into film and TV.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on in New York, and that's what I love about it. Like, it's such a good community, and, you know, we can just, like we did, my partner and I, we just created this web series. And, yeah, you can just – it's a great community. You're just like, hey, let's create something together, and then we just do it and throw it up there. And, so that's – I've been writing lots of sketches and creating lots of content. And so, yeah, on our YouTube channel, Brooklyn Co. Web Series, we'll eventually probably have other sketches in the same kind of vein. We'll see how this web series goes, and hopefully people like it. And and then I have my channel as well, The Uproar, where I do some crazy characters.
Oh, check that out. Everyone check that one out too. We'll put some links.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Cool. Yeah. So that's what I'm focused on there. And
Okay. And you've probably heard the story of the Broad City Ladies and how they started with the web series and they got discovered. So you just never know. It was too long and funny.
Yeah, Awkward Black Girl is a really awesome web series, and she just got a show on HBO, Insecure.
Oh, I must check that out.
Yeah, it's called Insecure. And then High Maintenance HBO, started as a web series as well. Yeah, so there are a lot of stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of really awesome web series out there.
Ah, and yes, I forgot to, because she'll probably be listening. Yes, Sophie, I haven't forgotten you.
Let's go
back. And we have a mutual friend, Sophie Long.
Yes.
So originally you knew Sophie many years ago in Sydney.
Yeah. We actually did a course at ScreenWise together, Screen Acting School here, and we did that, and then who would have thought, like, all those years later, that was just like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of straight dramatic acting training mm-hmm. for camera, and then who would have thought all those years later, like, she would end up in Chicago and I would end up in New Aww. York, and yeah, both doing comedy, and That's yeah, so, cool. so it's crazy how, you know, the roads we take and then we come back, and then, so she's living back here now.
Yeah.
And it seems like she's doing really amazing, really well.
Yeah, she used to teach at Laugh Masters Academy, and is now in one of our house teams. She's in Law Watt. They're very, very funny.
What a great name.
It's really good. She is very, very funny to watch and a very lovely person.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah, she's so lovely.
And she coaches one of the other teams as well. We have a few house teams, more LMA awesome. Clubs. We have mm-hmm. team, there's a team called Hyperbolic Sunday, such a good team name.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And there's Shut Up Daryl, again, awesome team name.
Yeah.
And Law Watt, and there'll be more soon.
That's awesome.
So, it's good to have those house teams in. Sophie's involved, and I enjoy watching her do improv, and I love talking with her. She's such a passionate teacher and passionate person. She's probably like, Jess, stop talking. You're like, what? I know you're going to listen, right? Hi, Sophie.
Yeah, it's so cool to see that, like, Sydney improv and that whole community is, like, being built out and, like, expanding in Sydney because – yeah, when I moved 5 years ago, there wasn't really anything. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I've been very lucky to, like, study in America at UCB and at Magnet Theatre and other places. And it's really amazing over there. But it's cool to see that there's stuff going on in Sydney.
Magnet Theatre. I don't know that I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're really, really awesome.
So tell me about them a little bit.
They were founded by Armando Diaz and a couple of other guys.
Oh, the guy who created Armando?
He was at UCB for a while. I think he was their artistic director. Right. I could be wrong about that for a while. And then he started Magnet Theatre with a couple of other people.
Okay.
And yeah, they do sketch classes and improv classes, and they have a theater, and they're really awesome. Okay. Like, UCB is really good for, like, structure and learning the technique, mm-hmm. and it's, like, very rigid about game and technique, mm-hmm. and this is how you do it, and it's really good and really important to learn mm-hmm. that as, like, a good foundation. And then Magnet is a little more creative and a little more, like, you know, kind of – do your thing kind of, but then with guidance and stuff.
Yeah.
So there are some really good schools in New York.
Oh yeah, there would be. And have you done anything with Second City or?
I haven't because that's in Chicago, so I haven't. Oh,
they're not all around the place.
No, there's not one.
Oh, they've got one in Toronto, I think, which is the closest to New York. Yeah. As far as I'm aware.
Yeah. So there's not one in New York. I'm too scared to go to Chicago because the winter is so cold.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
New York winter is, like, cold.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess you'd need to go at summertime then.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Chicago summer is cold. Any listeners from Chicago?
No, I think it gets really hot there in summer.
Yeah, go
in
summer.
I think I could be wrong about
that. Go in summertime.
Yeah.
Do, like, some workshops or something.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to go there. And I have yet to go to LA also, so I should check that out. Yeah, because they have Groundlings in LA.
Oh, yes. I know a few people study with Groundlings. And also, and Chicago is obviously, like, the home of improv for America and North America in general, I think.
Yeah.
I believe they also have IO. I know a few people studied there.
Oh, cool.
So there's Groundlings, IO, Second City, UCB. There's so much.
Yeah. So many amazing schools.
Yeah.
Just really awesome community. And it's cool. Like, people are just like, let's get together. Let's create something. And, like, really talented people. And, everyone's kind of hustling and trying to make it and good, like, sense of community. Yeah. How's that in Sydney with the improv world?
It's improved a lot. There's like there's a few monthly shows, and then there's three major schools now, and then there's always indie teams and house teams, and so there's always something going on.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, for a city of over 5 million, it's still not where you'd like it to be.
Yeah.
But I've seen it improve a lot in the last couple of years, so it's getting there. But a lot of people that I know who study improv, it's very common that they'll go over for a holiday to Chicago and they'll study there, or they'll go to Melbourne and they'll study there because they're a bit more artistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll go to New York or LA.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I went to like a women in film event last night for like Sydney Film Fest. Yeah, it was cool. So, yeah, it seems like there's definitely more stuff than there used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the girls was they created a film fest here. So, I don't remember the name. I have it in my bag, I think. I have a little postcard. Maybe. Oh. Maybe not. Hmm. Anyway.
Sweet.
Sorry for the false start there.
That's all right. Well, it's good to see things changing, and the cat is giving me the evils. She's like, why aren't I getting to? We're cat people.
Yeah.
She's very cute. She just will stare at she'll give me the, why aren't you giving me attention? Like, but I don't own you. I feel like this could be a fun little comedy bit, but I don't. You're not my cat. You have a home. Go there. Yeah.
That's adorable. Oh, my cat's name is Mortimer.
I love that.
Yeah, my cat. He's a little old Jewish man. Morty.
Morty.
Yeah. Actually, in the Naked Holiday show, I did this old Hasidic Jewish character. That's adorable.
Thank you, right? Come on. Come on.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cat's afraid of people. She's very social.
Is it she or he?
He. My cat's a he. Yeah, Mortimer.
He's a shy old Jewish cat. This one's super friendly, grey kitty. No, she hasn't figured you out yet, because you were trying to give her attention. She's like, maybe she can smell Morty on your clothes. Yeah, she probably can. She's like, probably. I'm more comfortable with that.
Sure, I have hair everywhere from him.
She's a very friendly cat, but she's not even mine, she gets attached to, you know, Pippi. Myself and at least one of the other flatmates, but the others, she will scratch at my window, and she will meow outside my door. I'm like, no kitty, you can't come in, I'm doing yoga. No kitty, you can't come in, I'm working. No kitty, you can't come in, I'm meditating. Then after a while, she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. Are you going to behave? Yes, you are. I treat her like a little fairy child.
Yeah, she's adorable.
She tries to disturb me at breakfast. I'm like, no, sit there and behave.
Behave yourself. Does she?
Yeah, she's pretty good. Sometimes a little bit naughty, but, you know, she's a cat.
Yeah.
I think it's good training sometimes to have a cat. If you want to have a cat, I'm still not sure. I don't think I want a kid.
Yeah.
This one can be high maintenance, and I even pay for her upkeep.
Yeah.
She'd be expensive.
Yeah, they need extra care, do they?
I think just their food and everything else. Because people pay a lot for Burmese cats.
Yeah.
But they are, as you can see, very stunning. But people listening are like, I can't see the cat, silly. Yeah. And I'm like, well, she's very cute. Put a picture of her on the Wic page, on the Women in Comedy page. She's
adorable.
She's so cute.
That's adorable.
I'm trying to see if there were any more questions I had for you. I don't think so. I mean, we could talk for hours, but then everyone would be like, this is a long episode.
Exactly.
We're close to an hour. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it. It never does.
No, yeah, it goes quickly. Time flies when you're having fun. I just had my fourth wedding, like marriage anniversary.
You've been married four times? What? No, I'm kidding.
I got sick of them. One per year.
Yeah, different nationality every time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, picking up passports from all over
British
the world.
Guy, yeah. Bored.
Yeah, exactly. Bored. Yeah. Yeah. I can get an American passport now, and I can get a European one. So, but I've been told you can only have two. So,
you're going to do dual citizenship. You're going to do the Aussie, Australian thing, or you're going to do the Australia and European thing.
I don't know. I'll have to decide. I don't think America is really going to come in handy for very much longer. So I think maybe I'll opt for European.
That's not very patriotic.
Yeah, I know. Shh. Nobody here is American.
American. Europe seems to be
It's good.
Yeah.
So I just had to spend like 15 minutes convincing him that it was our fourth anniversary and not our third anniversary.
Men never get a date.
Yeah, and I said, just time flies when you're having fun because our relationship's so fun and amazing. That's what it is. That's what I tell myself.
So he didn't come with you to Australia?
No, he had to work. Boring work. Yeah, he was being responsible, not like me.
But it's nice to come back to Aussie from time to time, or do you come back much? Or?
Yeah, it's so nice. I came back like 2 and a bit years ago, so it's been a while.
Okay.
So, yeah. I miss it. It's nice.
Go chill at the beach. Although the weather, I apologise, in South Australia, it's been pretty awful.
It's my fault for coming in winter. It's a bit chilly. Yeah. But yeah, my friend was getting married in Bali, so you know, what can you do? That's the timing.
Yeah. Well, winterish, winter, autumn. Yeah. I think autumn started late because I've noticed all the brown leaves have fallen from the trees, but that was supposed to happen months ago, so I get confused. But
totally. Well, in New York, like, winter, it used to be so freezing, and now it's like 2 years ago it was like 25 degrees Celsius on Christmas Day or something.
It's pretty cold for me when I was there, 2012, but we didn't have snow. We had little bits of dirty New York City snow, and I was like, oh my god, because we wanted a white Christmas. We had to go upstate, I think, to Rye, where it was beautiful. Rye is beautiful. And it was snowing there. We're like, stayed at a friend's place, came back, and like, we didn't get snow. We got the, aftermath, the and I would slip over outside the subway station and hurt my bum.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing in front of people. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know what shoes to wear.
Yeah.
Don't wear Italian leather shoes. That doesn't work.
I had a white Christmas 1 year and it was beautiful, but I'm pretty happy about global warming. I shouldn't say that, but it definitely makes it warmer
in
winter.
It can make it, more comfortable.
Right. Going to start a women's support group, Cold Women for Global Warming.
I love it. Right.
Yeah, screw the environment. My warmth is more important.
You've got to feel warm in winter. This layer is always better.
I'll just have to move to LA, I guess.
It's always sunny. Or Florida. Oh, no, you're not too young.
Stereotypes. I think I'll be retiring there one day. I can definitely see that for myself.
So warm there.
It's nice.
Thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for
Do you have
me.
Any questions for me before we wrap it up?
No, I think we've covered lots of ground.
I'll pass you the cat and see if she wants to
see if
cuddle.
she runs away from me.
Yeah, she's not. Yeah. Silly kitty.
So, if anyone wants to check out our web series, you can go to our Facebook page. It's Brooklyn Co. Web Series, CO. Full stop or period for those American web series. And our YouTube channel is Brooklyn Co. Web Series.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And It'll then my fun. Web series, my YouTube channel is Liat Brawl. For you.
So not Lee, Lee.
Liat.
Liat. So
yeah, there's
Lee,
no apostrophe in that. L-E-E-A-T. B-R-U-H-L.
So no apostrophe on YouTube.
No apostrophe on YouTube.
Why don't you put an apostrophe?
No, they don't do apostrophes in URLs.
That doesn't make sense.
All right, cool. Discriminatory.
No worries. And you can find Women in Comedy, the podcast, in the usual places, Twitter, Facebook. We're not on YouTube yet, but that might change.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye. Let me just say bye. And say bye, Pippi. Bye, Pippi. Oh, no. Okay. She's not going to meow on cue.